Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it's Thursday night, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an ear to hear Him, and being able to distinguish His voice from all others that we hear. Knowing Him and being able to have that confidence that we are hearing from Him, and in that relationship with Him where we can trust Him and be ourselves with Him, that's the cornerstone for everything else that God is bringing to us as far as our training, our challenges, and meeting our needs in our soul and our body. So the basis of everything moving forward is about knowing Him, about hearing Him, about being able to recognize His presence. And part of that is starting with the recognition that we are a spirit being, that we have already received everything we need to be able to hear Him, and we already do, in our spirit, hear Him 24/7 perfectly. So we don't want to think of this process in terms of needing to meet some kind of a, this is not a rush job. He's not holding back anything who He is in relating to us, for instance, until we can hear Him clearly. That's very often how we see things. That's not the way God sees things. So God moving in our lives and arranging the consequences and the circumstances in our life is not dependent on our ability to hear Him in our soul. Okay? So we're not under that pressure. Very often, we think that the reason we need to hear Him, we need to know His voice, is so we can be at the right place at the right time. And we've talked about this many times before. But you're in God. You're in Him. You're always in the right place at the right time. You can't be anything but in the right place at the right time. So we're not under that pressure, that performance pressure, that need to be able to be good enough, skilled enough, practiced enough, so that when God shows up, we'll know what to do. That's His responsibility, to train us, to bring us to whatever degree of skill in any area that He so chooses. He knows what He has in front of you, and it is His job and His commitment to have you ready for it. Now, most of the time, we face things in our lives that we feel like we just didn't do a good job in handling. Well, that's part of the process. If we did things perfectly right off the bat, we wouldn't learn how to learn. And that's really one of the most valuable skills we can get out of our time here on this earth, is how to learn. we've talked often about our time here on this earth. There are things that God wants to accomplish that he has set aside for this earth plane. And that in the next whatever he has in store for us, there will be things he wants to accomplish in our lives at that time too. What we want to remember is that what he's training and teaching us for is not just, for instance, learning to hear his voice, but learning how to go to him to be trained. That's even more valuable than having that confidence or that skill in any other area. If you could raise the dead, if you could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if you could speak to a mountain and it be removed, none of that would translate into what God has next for you if you didn't also learn how to learn. We don't know what God has in the next thing. We don't even know what God has for us tomorrow. But this is why we are focused on what we can do to prepare for it, so we can learn how to learn. What do we need to learn to be ready? Now, it's said that a battle plan is not worth the paper it's written on as soon as the battle begins. So we can have, you know, God can give us a clear vision of this is what I want you to do as the next project, and this is what I'm going to do through you, and this is, you know, A, B, C, and D, and it can be perfectly clear. And you start out on that process, and a little criticism comes your way. What do you do? Maybe I missed God. We pay attention to the criticism. This is why our emphasis is so much on going to God with everything that comes our way. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Because you will never be able to figure out on your own what to do with any criticism, rejection, any wound, any situation or opportunity even. We know for certain that a need does not constitute a call. The poor you will always have with you. So it's not the church's job to go out and fix the problems of this world. God created the problems for us to learn to rule and reign over them. Now, he may have up his sleeve that at some point in time there will be a utopia here on this earth. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But the point is, that's not your assignment. Now, he may give you a project. I want you to go and feed this group of people. But you're not going to do it because they need to be fed. You're not going to do it because you are compassionate towards them. Both of those may be true, but you're going to reach out and feed them because God said, reach out and feed them. When you are under his tutelage, under his training, you don't get to decide your homework. God assigns the homework. Now, some of us, that right there, you know, oh, wait a minute. We want to have a certain level of control, and sometimes a lot of levels of control, or security in numbers. You know, well, what I feel God wants me to do, I'm the only one. Guess what? You're one in him. How many more do you need? One's all that matters, because you're one in him. So be confident that he will If he needs you to be ready for something, you will be ready for it. Part of this process of learning to depend on him and learning how to learn, we will learn to see our training opportunities, our homework assignments, and our grades from his perspective. So often we are so much harder on ourselves than he is. You know, there's no reason we can't be doing all this perfectly. Or if you can't do it well, don't even try. Or we don't want to ruin his reputation. We could go on and on. We all have responses and scripts and emotional responses, reactions. But what does God say? What does our Father say when we come home from school? Come, tell me about your homework. Let's do it together. And when he sends us out in the world, he sends us out two by two. You and his son. There's always that partnership. We are yoked together with him. His desire is for you. And as we work with him, that desire rubs off on us so that our desire is for him. The work gets done that he wants to get done. But our focus is so tuned to him that whether we are plowing or tearing down trees, doesn't matter what's going on behind us, because we have our hand to what God has us to do at any given time. So keep going to him. Keep going back to, Lord, what about this? And that will be the habit that will carry you through any crisis, any plateau, any questioning or doubt. Is there a God? Am I really a Christian? Is there a heaven or hell? What's next? How do I answer other people's questions? There's only one answer. We've talked before about how we try to make things so complex when his answers are so simple. You know, Moses asked him, "What is your name?" The people will want to know who you are. Who shall I say sent me? God's response, "I am." He is, and you are. And people either get that or they don't. And to try to explain it to someone who isn't getting that, isn't hearing, having that quickening, is a waste of your breath. There may even be times when God wants you to try. But that's not because they're open. And it's not because you desire to help them understand. It's because he says, speak to the rock. So hopefully be encouraged that this is a process, but the process is not about your arriving at a level of approval or acceptance or value by God. You've already, in your spirit, everything's accomplished. You've been brought into the family of God. You are now a full-fledged son in his business, in the kingdom. You are a prince and an heir. Nothing can change that. He's already put that ring on your finger and the crown upon your head. Your task now is to learn to live like a prince. Like a son of God. And he will provide everything you need to learn how to do that. So when we're talking, we've been talking about our relationship with him. And how when we come to him, we often try to relate to him on terms that we understand. And one of the goals that happens, one of the things that happens when we talk about waiting on him is we start to tune in and be open to having our supernatural, our solical senses quickened. This is something God does through our spirit, is quicken our senses. Now, your senses in Adam and Eve, your solical senses, when Adam and Eve roamed before the fall, their senses, all their senses were fully activated because they were all enlivened by the Spirit of God dwelling within them. They were fully spirit beings. For us, much of our, both our solical senses and our natural senses have become deadened because life has not been available to them. But now that the Spirit is, our spirits are alive again, our solical and natural senses are being quickened. So just to give you a little parallel, in the natural, I'm sure you know that there's quite a range of vision that we don't see. We only see a narrow range of sight. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen the really cool pictures of outer space that were taken by Hubble Telescope and other telescopes. They come back and they're beautiful, like the Eagle Nebula and the different kinds of formations out in space. And even looking up at the stars, we see planets and stars and sometimes a satellite or a shooting star. Well, those pictures that come back from the telescopes, that's not what they look like. When we see the beautiful colors and we see the beautiful shapes, what the telescope has done is taken photographic images of different ranges of light waves and translated them into a representation that we can relate to. Because our vision is so narrow. Likewise, we know those dog whistles, for instance, that only dogs hear, that people can't hear. That just shows us one example of how our hearing, our natural hearing, is limited. There are a lot of sounds that are so low we don't hear them, or we discount them, and so high that we don't hear them, or we discount them. That's because our physical ears are made to hear certain ranges of sound. Our physical eyes are made to see certain ranges of vision, of light waves. Now, as our solical senses are quickened, our natural ranges in our natural senses, they are also quickened. The example of the prophet seeing, you know, his servant despairing, you know, that they were going to be killed by the king's army, and he prays that his servant would have his eyes opened so he could see what was really going on. And his eyes were opened, and he saw into the supernatural realm, not the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm, and he saw the army of heaven protecting them. Okay? He didn't get new eyes. His natural eyes were enlivened. And that's what can happen for us. That's what will happen as we are quickened. Our senses, our solical senses, and our natural senses will be quickened. So these are just some of the consequences and the circumstances and the results. We don't know what it's going to be like. Because so much of what has been passed along has been passed along in terms of special giftings. You know, that if you have that experience, it's a special thing. It's a gift. It's a particular blessing. And unfortunately, very often people who have those experiences are put on a pedestal and given some degree of notoriety, that if God has blessed them with being able to see, for instance, into the future or into the soulical or supernatural realm, then they must be closer to God. They must be able to hear him more clearly than anyone else. Well, that's not true at all. And how they are able to do that is going to be different for each person in each situation. But we don't want to rest until God says, okay, your soulical senses have been quickened as much as they're ever going to be quickened. And your physical senses have been quickened as much as they're ever going to be quickened. Okay, when he says that, then we'll say, okay, we've got enough of God. I think we've got a ways to go on that. Which explains why we need to wait. Because he can do a much quicker work in us, with us being still and available, than we can at all ever hope to imagine to accomplish by trying to help him. So we wait because he doesn't need our help. Now, we probably all think that, okay, I want to know him. You know, I've told him a million times. I sing it all the time. He knows that's the cry of my heart. Well, let's just think of some ways that maybe we may think that, we may feel that, but maybe it's just not showing in some actions. Because sometimes we miss him. He comes to us, and we miss him. We don't recognize him. Sometimes we miss him because he comes to us unwanted. Jesus wants to be wanted. Though the odds are that all of us say that we want to know the Lord, we may only want to know him on our terms. Think about that for a second. And in fact, let's just let the Lord bring to our attention any area where we have set limitations or terms on his desire, the way he wants to make himself known. So, Lord, I just ask right now that you bring to the surface any way that we are putting limits or terms on your coming to us. Okay, and I just want you to write that down. If you got anything, check with him. Lord, is that you? Keep track of this. Hopefully you're keeping some kind of a journal, some kind of a record. We want to remember how he comes to us is for him to decide. He doesn't take too well to being dictated to. As we learn to wait on him, he begins to reveal to us things that we want more than we want him. We want to control our time, our circumstances, and how and when he speaks to us, even what he speaks to us about. God, you can talk to us, you can talk to me about anything but this. Or sometimes we're so afraid he's going to talk to us about something we don't want to talk to him about that we make sure we don't give him any time to talk to us. Well, you need to talk to him about that. So part of the process of learning to wait brings us to the point of wanting to know the Lord simply because we want to know him. Not for what he does, not for what he says, not for how he makes us feel. Just because that's now who we are. We want to know him. It's part of our nature. It's part of our identity. It's who we are. We want to know God. But think about it. Would you go where you're not wanted? Do you want him? How long are you willing to wait? Quite a few years ago, I was listening to this radio program. It was very interesting. And it was on a Christian TV station, or a radio station. And a gentleman had called in about he was frustrated with his girlfriend, that he had been pressuring her to marry him. And he didn't understand why she wouldn't marry him, and he was basically blaming God. That he was convinced that God had told him that she was the one for him. So he didn't understand why God wouldn't make her say yes. Well, for once, the radio host, had a great comeback. And it's been quite a few years, and I still remember it. So it was either a very good answer or very few of them were good, and that's the only one I had to remember from this particular time period. But his answer was, so you're convinced that this is the one for you. This is the woman God has picked to be your wife. You're convinced of that. He said, absolutely. He said, 100%? Yes, 100%. And then his question was, then why can't you wait? And he didn't have an answer. If you believe that this woman is for you, is God, what God has picked, and God doesn't make people do things that they don't want to, like in this kind of a situation, why can't you wait? What is it about it? You're saying that God's timing is wrong. And it was very interesting because he got it. He said, I'm going to have to really think about it. Because maybe I didn't hear from God. And that's where we all have to start. Are we trying to manipulate ourselves or others because we believe we've heard from God, and we try to make that belief, use that belief like a club to get others to do things our way? So how do you believe God wants to reveal himself to you? Do you believe you want to know him? Let me answer those questions for you. Both of the answers are yes. God does want to reveal himself to you. And yes, you do want to know him. You may not feel like it. You may not believe it. Those are lies. Because who you truly are, a spirit being, already knows him. And your true desire is that your soul and your body will line up in that knowing God experience. So we will talk more next Thursday about some of the other ways that we miss him when he comes to us. Saturday we'll be getting back together again to continue our series. But in the meantime, if you've got any questions or comments, and thanks so much for the great questions I've been getting. There's been some really thoughtful questions, and I do so appreciate it. And sometimes shorter is better, but we do want to remember that what we're going to be doing with a lot of these questions is simply taking them back to God and finding out what his answer is. We're not going to try to come up with a theory or a doctrine to cover every issue. So thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio, and have a great evening.